now stay tuned for To Your Health on WPBC LP Charlottesville, the show where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. Now here's your host, MC Blair.
Good morning. Good morning. Good Saturday morning to you. I'm MC Blair, and this is To Your Health right here at 94.7 WPVC. Had a great interview with Todd Niemeyer from Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, or UACC as it's known. And we also stopped by and talked to Janet Mitchell, who won the BCville contest, which included a $5,000 grant to aid in putting out a community garden right there at South First Street. So that's also on the interview. So I will be playing that and coming in, you know, sort of coming in during it and explaining a few things. But we'll start off with the interview.
Headquarters of Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, or UACC. We'll be talking with Farmer Todd. That's Todd Niemeyer, who runs the place. And we're also right next to Community Bikes. It's rather interesting. So they share this space. It's right on Avon Street, right across from what used to be Spud Nuts. It's now Fox's Cafe. Farmer Todd's going to give me the tour right now, walking inside.
This is the tool storage, washing, packing, cooling, equipment repair area. All of our spaces are small and used for lots of different things.
Oh my, drying room.
Yeah.
Garlic.
This is the equipment
onions.
Storage, oh. Onion curing, sweet potato curing, seed starting area.
Quite a few onions here.
Yeah, it's about 3/4 of them.
All right.
Yes, they're out in the greenhouse around back. Good onion harvest.
Yeah.
Can you make it through there?
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of tight. That's the tractor.
Yep.
Yeah, this is where the babies get started. This stuff's not usually here when we're starting seeds.
Right.
All everything shifts around. This is the next wave of cucumbers. The baby's getting ready to go outside.
That's pretty neat. So you start them under the lights.
Yep. That's kind of what we have. You know, it's like if you're given a garage, you go, okay, how do I grow plants in a garage?
No problem. Yeah.
So that's what we do.
So what's this Johnny's Selected Seeds?
Yeah, that's a company. We get a lot of our seed donated, all of our seed this year. Yeah, saved us like $500. So that was really helpful.
Got on the front, they've got a Chicho Lorenzo's mural. Beautiful, beautiful mural. Of course,
we are headed to one of the gardens.
Yeah, we're going to go over to West Street first.
We'll
pass Springfield Court and 6th Street.
Oh, okay.
But we'll come back to those because we got to harvest squash and cucumbers this morning.
All right.
It was where all the spring greens and stuff were.
It's the 6th Street Garden.
Almost done now. There's Friendship Quarter over there and enrolling.
Yes.
That's where we'll go get our squash and cucumbers. I'm going to West Street because somebody dug up a whole bunch of potatoes. I shouldn't say a whole bunch because they'll probably over 1,000+ pounds out there, but you know, it happens a little bit every year.
Yeah, these people came and dug up potatoes illegally. They stole them, unfortunately. And that's what we're talking about now over at the First Street Garden.
But it still doesn't diminish in pain.
No, I understand.
Every time I see it, I go, it's like, ah! And so I feel the need to put a message out of, hey, like, please don't do this. Like,
well,
this
only,
is free.
I was just going to say, not only that, but they could work. You know,
yeah,
help work and get all the free stuff they want.
And even if they can't work, I'm happy to share it. Just don't steal it from us. Just don't steal it. Like, show your face. Have the dignity to show your face. And, like, I know it's hard if you're, like, scraping by and you don't. It's a pride thing, man, when you're hungry.
Yes.
And so I respect that, but, like, I'm not going to judge you. I'll judge you harshly if you steal from me, but I'll forgive you. But if you do it anonymously, man. It's like, that hurts.
Thief in the night, yes.
Yeah, we put a lot of work into that. A lot of people put a lot of work into that. So, anyway. Along to the countryside, the back 40.
The back 40, right. That's Main Street and Fifth Street, by the way. So you're going to put up signs, basically, you know, saying, just ask next time or whatever.
Here's my phone number. Give me a call. Happy to share.
Happy to share in the bounty.
And then I wrote, like, a little personal message that I just, like, stuck on a stick that we're going to hang up to. Just, like, to try to just maybe encourage somebody to not feel bad about calling.
It is, but it's part of community. It's you, it seems like, are stepping out and really being that community member, the food citizen.
Try to be.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, somehow, you know, I had the privilege to get to learn how to do this stuff. People trusted me to be in their backyards and in their communities, so I have a duty now.
You are listening to Your Health. I'm interviewing Todd Niemeyer. Farmer Todd, he runs the Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, UACC. And that's who I'm talking to right now. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with Janet Mitchell from South First Street.
To do it well, or at least the best I can do.
Yes. Well, I hear good things.
Not notorious things.
No.
It's good. I don't think I've done anything too awful.
Like I said, I had Courtney Evans on from PB&J, and she had good things to say.
Cool. Yeah, they do good work. It's pretty neat. It's funny, like, there's so many of us now, and we know that we overlap, and we try to meet up and, like, figure out how we overlap, but it's, like, it's such a complicated venture to, like... You know, people always talk about nonprofits always work in silos and they should communicate more. But it's like a full-time gig just trying to, like, figure out what everybody's doing and figure out where you overlap and then create something, some way to work together. So it's like a magical thing. Like, stuff is happening and it's great, and I don't even know what all glad that it is.
You ever considered Google Sheets?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, we have regular meetings and we've done, like, strategic planning kind of stuff together. Around food justice, but it's still almost like there's so much happening, it's hard to keep your finger on it. And then in your own silo, you're constantly, like, trying to even figure out what you're doing on a daily basis. Or
right.
At least I am.
City of Promise, Barbara Yeager. No, I have not
Sarad
had the
Davenport.
Pleasure.
No, Sarad, he founded it. You know, West Haven. Check out Joe Johnson's bananas. It's awesome.
Here we were pulling in the First Street Garden, and there's a gentleman there that is growing bananas in his front yard. It's amazing.
So this is City of Promise right here. They started a garden with the kids from the neighborhood. So Barbara, Sarad sort of headed up the whole thing. He just recently moved on to something else, but Barbara Yeager is kind of the one who does the gardening thing. I think she's a nutritionist by trade. Mm-hmm. Everybody brings some amazing skills.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the organizations of the Food Justice Network are just... I mean, there's 16.
Are there 16?
16 organizations.
I love it. See, I need somebody like you to keep track of it all. I know it's big.
Yeah, you know, it's growing, and it's just necessary in the quest of having a total food security system for Charlottesville.
Hopefully... If they come back for more, they'll think twice and just maybe give me a phone call.
Those are the potatoes where somebody had come in the night and dug up a number of potatoes from the garden. That's what we're talking about now.
This will also give me a reference point. If they come back, I'll know. Because if they go beyond this... Not a mean message, just Let's give these his sign dignity here.
His sign says, "Hello, I don't know who you are. I don't know the story of your life or the struggles you face. If you're hungry, we'd like to help. But taking without asking disrespects all who have worked hard to grow this food. You are forgiven. Please have the courage to tell us who you are."
But that works.
I like it.
Little new potatoes. They're a little bit early to let them grow a bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's carnage, folks. They just rip this stuff up, didn't even, like a thief would do.
And you kind of look at it, you go, you kind of knew you weren't supposed to be doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, you can tell. You can tell. I'm going to help grab a few of these spuds. Yeah, definitely.
Shovel's like not a good tool for digging up potatoes.
No, just hands.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Or a pitchfork's
or
good.
Pitchfork.
Because it kind of like goes around them a little bit.
Right, exactly. How's this one been? Oh, I see. Yeah, that one was
they got
skewered. Yeah.
They sliced them. Come out, I'll teach you how to harvest potatoes properly.
Yeah.
Right? Believe me, I've harvested a handful here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's that.
At least you got some good compost.
Yeah, it'll all go back and feed the worms, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that.
I know. That's a couple pounds right there.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right.
New garden.
Okay, we are going to South First Street and to the new garden.
If the truck doesn't blow up, yeah. That's about some door is open. And so this came about because longtime friend and resident over here at South First really wanted a garden over here,
and
she just kept pushing on me like, you gotta make this happen. And she really spearheaded it. I was like, okay, you gotta prove to me that this isn't just like your thing. You gotta show me that like other people in your community want
benefits of the community.
You can't just like march in there and like put a garden in. It's gonna happen to this truck. So she did a big petition, got all these signatures, and then we drafted an agreement with the housing authority. It took like a year or more.
Wow.
Yeah, the housing authority was in this huge transitional phase. They had no director for a while. So like, that's a nice idea, but we have no one to sign the document. Huh. Then he came and it was like, put that on his desk, and he's like, okay, let me think about that one. Because it was kind of, you know, it's kind of out left field. Like, you want to do what? They went for it, and so we're putting 8,000 square feet of garden in over here.
Awesome.
Which will hopefully help to replace the loss of Friendship Court, which will probably happen next fall.
The reorganization.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Janet lives right there. She'll probably see the truck and come yelling at me like, yeah. You didn't stop! South First Street community. It's Mount Zion First African Baptist.
Okay.
Kind of some of the landmarks over here.
Right.
When we do our distributions, our market days, this has been one site for a few years in the rotation. We just set up right by the community center on the sidewalk.
So if I remember correctly, Todd, though, when you were on the show, one of your goal is to, you know, bring food access to folks that would not otherwise have it?
Yeah, I mean, that's... What I characterize, it's not the only goal. I mean,
no, the only goal.
It's sort of like the foundation of what we do.
Right.
You know, like growing food together, getting it out to people who can use it and maybe don't have a lot of money to spend on food, but like also just getting people to kind of mingle a little bit. So
there you go.
Here's our hover. We'll just hover. See those four plots out there?
I see them.
We just had them in summer cover crops, and we just mowed them. And so we'll probably put some fall crops in there. We don't have any water yet, and we don't have a fence, and there's a lot of deer. So, we're gonna take this a little slowly.
You say fall like broccoli, maybe a fall planting of broccoli.
Oh, like kale, collards, mustard, stuff like that. Yeah. Got it, Janet. We gotta do this, and she'll get a kick out of it.
Her name's
Janet Mitchell.
Janet Mitchell, South First Street Garden.
Okay.
I'm C. Blair.
That's me. Hi, Janet Mitchell.
Brandon.
Nice to meet
you.
All right.
We
got a radio program called To Your Health, so this will air on that. I can edit it out if you want.
I just said you should come over and meet you.
We are talking to Janet Mitchell, and you are listening to Your Health right here at 94.7 WPVC, the voice of resistance in Charlottesville. Back to Janet.
Because we were I was showing him the garden.
You know I like to look cute when I meet new people.
You look great.
Wait a minute. Let me get my hat.
All right.
Before, I was on a program once before, and he wanted
to...
Okay.
This is WPVC.
This is WPVC.
Hey, WPVC.
Yeah.
How you doing this morning?
Great.
We being taped?
Yes.
Gotta say.
What got you going on the garden, on the South Street Garden? What first said, darn it, we need a garden right here?
Because Farmer Talk, we might be losing Friendship Court. And he said we might need another place. So I went around and pimped the neighborhood. And that's how it started off.
I heard you got a bunch of signatures.
Feedback down.
That's community right there.
In action.
Yeah.
With the kids helping.
Darn right. You know, because then they feel accomplishment and pride.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them off the streets.
Yeah,
you know?
That too. But they don't be on the streets. They be hanging out with me.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just saying to give them some sense of ownership of the community rather than victim.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Take an active role.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They also put up trees before we even got the garden down.
Really?
Yes,
oh, my gosh. That's great.
Down trees.
Mm-hmm. I was with Court Evans of the PB&J Fund, and she said that one of the biggest things about working with the kids is at the harvest or when a task was completed,
mm-hmm.
to see that pride and then hear what they had to say.
Yeah.
And learn from them.
I wish all the kids was here. They was all out here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
All the Gloria babies was here, the ones that helped. Yeah, they was all out here yesterday.
Yeah.
That's how we did it.
That's it.
Let's cut the neighborhood.
So you're going to be, Todd said that you're going to have the fall crop.
We hope so.
Actually, it's all his grandkids that helped.
Oh, really?
Survey the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Mr. Jackson. Yeah. All right.
His grandkids helped do all of that.
That's excellent. I've enjoyed meeting you. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So what's the name of that garden?
The name of the garden is the Heavily Community Garden.
Awesome.
South First Street.
South First Street.
Hey.
I like it. There ought to be a song. South
I'm
First Street.
I'm going to make one.
Yeah.
Don't mess with
I'm
me.
I'm telling you. No, really. Lay it down. Look at that.
Here you go.
2017 Community Vote winner to Janet Mitchell for their creativity, commitment to their community as part of the 2017 BCville Project. That is really nice.
All right, there's
and a nice write-up in the paper.
$5,000 grant
for the garden.
Yes.
Oh man, that's nice. Now you're gonna make me get my glasses out.
You can just start where I say, Janet.
Janet Mitchell says, when her proposed South First Street Garden project won, she was ecstatic. I even put my tiara on when they gave me the award.
Tiara with me too.
Thank you, Janet.
I knew I worked it hard on that project, so
yeah.
I figured I was gonna get something out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if it was the $3,000, I wound up getting the top prize,
$5,000. That's
now
awesome.
I gotta buy him a truck, vegetable truck.
Oh, the vegetable. Yeah. That's one of the ideas.
I wrote it there.
We are at Friendship Court. Gonna pick some slots.
I just wanted to say, if Janet's listening today, I really enjoyed meeting you, girl. You're doing a wonderful thing out there, and it's so important. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
Squash and cucumbers, the tomatoes are still green.
I wish we were that savvy and we could grow tomatoes this early. Some people have tomatoes.
We're over at Friendship Court now, and we're picking zucchini and cucumbers.
Tomatoes already.
Right.
I'm not that good. I'm too cautious. I'm risk averse. I plant them late.
We're going to take a little break right now, and we will be back. Okay, we are back. Wanted to give you a headline here. I like to research and find out what's going on. It said, like it or not, broccoli is good for you. Of course, I think most of us have known that, but there's a compound in broccoli called sulforaphane, and it's a phytochemical, which is, of course, a chemical produced by plants. It's found naturally in broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables. Of course, that's red cabbage, white cabbage, sweet potatoes, asparagus, and others like that, Brussels sprouts. And it may reduce some of the harmful effects of type 2 diabetes in overweight adults. Now, that's according to new research by Jed Fahey, who is a nutritional biochemist and an associate professor at Johns Hopkins. And he's also part of a team of researchers in Europe and the United States. His predecessor as director of the research center, the renowned pharmacology professor and experimental generalist Paul Talley, isolated the compound of sulforaphane as a phytochemical in the early 1990s. He made international headlines and sparked broccoli sales around the world by demonstrating the compound's effectiveness in boosting the body's ability to resist cancer as well. They also showed that broccoli sprouts, 3 to 4 day old broccoli plants, pretty small stuff, have 50 to 100 times the cancer-fighting power as the mature stalks. But the mature stalks are still really, really good. Popular Science called the findings among the top 100 scientific discoveries of the 20th century. And researchers at Johns Hopkins and elsewhere have since tested the chemical's effectiveness in helping the body fend off pathologies from autism, osteoarthritis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. Unbelievable. Now, up in Maine, they got a new food sovereignty law. Now, this is really cool. What it does is it puts local control over local foods. There was a time when all food exchanges in Maine took place at the local neighbor-to-neighbor level, free of regulations and government licensing. But over the years, that changed with the advent of food safety laws and inspections. Now, food safety laws are good, believe me. However, what we found is that most local farmers and meat producers, they follow those laws as just a general rule. And so the local food has just been more safe overall for a number of years, a lot of years. Matter of fact, give you an example, I was out at Polyface talking with Joel Salatin back at the beginning of this century. I guess it was probably 03, maybe 04. And he had mentioned his parents, when they purchased that farm out there in Swope, Virginia, that that was in the 60s, early 60s, they have checked the chickens, not only the chickens themselves, the eggs, and also the iguana, and have not one case of salmonella, which is supposed to be, you know, locally carried or naturally carried by chickens. Not one case of salmonella in that time. And that's, I don't know, 60 years almost. So there you go, right? So the people in Maine are hoping that the new law will bring back some of that community-based commerce. It recognized local control regarding food systems, legitimizing the authority of towns and communities to enact the ordinances regulating the local food, free from state and federal regulatory control. This is huge. Really good stuff. Now, there's something in the farm bill that says farms at a smaller level can sell directly to customers without using those regulations, so the federal is pretty much covered. But historically, this is how many people have always exchanged food, especially in rural areas. Under the new law, any town or municipality in Maine now adopt an ordinance allowing food producers to sell their products directly to consumers free from state and regulatory licenses. This law and the ordinance are not intended to create a retail market that simply circumvents the rules of food safety. It's to rejuvenate traditional local foodways where communities provided for themselves in an atmosphere of trust, not unlike having friends over to share a meal. And that's what it is. That's what community is all about. And that's why we here at To Your Health support community-based agriculture as a way of bringing the community together, keeping the money in the community, paying living wages to the workers, and generally improving the overall health of the community, both physical and social health. Because we know that when you, people get together and work together, as I've said this many times, from different cultures, from different income strata, you know, different skin colors, when that happens, the all those prejudices and all the stuff you read about in the paper and, you know, hate and all that sort of thing, it tends to disappear. And the community is healthier for it. We're going to go back to our interview with Farmer Todd of Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville.
And this garden is soon to be gone.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We're not sure. They're talking about, sure. Call it.
It's redevelopment.
Redevelopment. There you go.
Call it renewal.
Yeah. Going up with high-rises, and I know you had mentioned before, Todd, that you would like to talk to planners of this project about rooftop gardens.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Good, good.
But it's, you know, it's pretty hard. I'm struggling with time, you know. It's like I got to get out here and, you know, spending time in front of the computer doing research takes time, too.
Yeah, it does.
Gotten some folks to help me think about it a little bit.
Good.
But now I have to, like, come up with a coherent presentation. Tried to think about all the little different angles and the costs, but it's a big endeavor.
It is. It is.
No joke. Like, rattling off ideas about food trucks and I don't know any of this stuff. It's just a bunch of ideas, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Right. Well, it looks like Janet's got a handle on that.
Oh.
Yeah, she was also talking about... she knew somebody who was doing a food truck where they could take the locally grown produce from the community gardens and prepare it and make a ready-to-eat product, really good tasting, right out of the food truck for a reasonable cost, something that can be affordable to the residents. And, wow, what a really great idea that is. I hope that continues. Or I hope it comes to fruition, because it's really something that the folks could use, especially the ones that are, you know, they're working a couple of jobs and they got the kids and, you know, they don't have a lot of time to prepare a meal. So if there was some method for them to get the real food into their homes to eat, and if it was already prepared, all they have to do is buy it and serve it up. So I really hope that happens. Keep up the good work, Janet, and all you guys out there at South First Street.
She's got some ideas for sure. You're trying to decide whether or not you're going to, like, muscle through it.
I understand. Yeah, finding the funding and finding the crew, the workers, the volunteers, obviously.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, there are grants available, though.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, right?
I'm a volunteer right now.
Yes. Well, I will definitely help carry some of these things back.
Yeah,
so absolutely.
Crap, I meant to put them upside down on the truck, but I forgot.
Walking down the hill, hopping up there.
That was an extra plot, because we were like, oh, we have all these extra peppers. We better put them somewhere. So
I understand.
And they went.
Awesome.
And then these are all peppers, too. So shortage of peppers. Got my finger. I should cut the squash. Nice.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
Got some weeds. Weeds and zucchini. Tomorrow's distribution day.
Right, and then so what happens to distribution day?
Well, everything that we've harvested throughout the week or the day of goes back out to the community. Anybody who wants to show up, 4 o'clock this time, this week, South First Street, right in Janet's backyard. Well, not in her backyard, but over by the community center.
And that's just distributed. There's no change of money or...
No, just change of the farm tokens that we use to honor people's time who have... It's one of those things, like, we have to put some way of valuing it, but, you know, I think I mentioned this, like, most of the folks who want the vegetables don't have the flexibility, time, freedom to volunteer. It's kind of a privilege to be able to volunteer. You know, being able to volunteer implies that you have free time and you can contribute that time to something that doesn't pay you.
I see.
that's a position of privilege, right?
It
so
is.
Like to expect that of somebody who's living, you know, in a low wage, low wealth situation is hard. So that's why we don't turn anybody away, and that's why we have that sort of system where those who do have the time and privilege to volunteer can share their credits with other people.
Understand.
So that's really how market day works. We'll never turn anybody away for vegetables too, because somebody's volunteered for it. I mean, it's not, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's not an ideal system because there's probably other ways to reach people. And that's this food truck kind of idea, or this alternative method of distribution. Like, maybe we can get it out at different times rather than just Friday at 4.
Because
that's
right.
The capacity that we have, right? There's not enough of us to, like, do a market every day, all day. A mobile market staffed by a couple of people. Maybe.
Yeah.
We have to sell. So maybe we'd sell vegetables out of it. Maybe we'd sell food, ready-made food out of it.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what the best model is, but we need to change how we think about it and keep evolving.
I understand.
Look at all these weeds. They're hiding the squash. It's good that it's radio. You can't see the weeds.
There's one.
By the way, if anybody listening out there has an idea of how we could distribute ready-made food, i.e. food truck or, you know, a brick-and-mortar establishment set up as an NPO, something like that, to get these, get real food to the folks that normally can't get it, don't have access to it, please email me at m1c1blair@gmail.com. That's m1c1blair@gmail.com. Much appreciated. I'll get it to the right folks.
One.
Yeah.
Bucket's getting heavy already.
Yeah, I'm going to go get another bucket.
Anything? I mean, you see the same folks go by every day. I don't know how many days. So it's just me.
Right.
My buddy Bradley will be out tomorrow. He's an intern for 6 weeks with us.
You're listening to Your Health right here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We're talking with Todd Niemeyer of Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, UACC.
It's cool.
It's his third year working with us, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good guy in high school still. But,
so Bradley in high school helps you?
Yeah, and Jennifer is the mom of four girls that I've worked with for years, and she's the assistant farm manager out here.
Oh, okay. And her name, Jennifer, what?
Jennifer Minor.
Jennifer Minor, okay.
Couldn't do it without them. I mean, really, like, I'm getting, every year I get slower at this, and I rely on their help to make it through, because it gets hard out here. It gets hot.
Yeah.
And you got hundreds of pounds of stuff to get out of the field.
Right.
A little bug damage on the edge there, but I think it's all right.
Yeah, it looks
These
like
are pretty,
it.
Huh?
Those are gorgeous.
Thanks for schlepping.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I don't mind doing it. This is a good cause.
You like these fancy things?
I love that. He's got these socks, on his arms with the holes cut out for his hands so that he doesn't get, doesn't pick up any thorns or briars or any of that sort of thing.
The pricklies
for these squash are covered with them and keeps it off his arms. Pretty ingenious.
Just a whim.
What's the variety called?
Dunja.
Dunja. Folks, it looks like it's got spray residue on it, and of course, it's not that.
No,
it's just the way it is. It's kind of a whitish thing on the leaf itself.
We sprayed them with, we fed them with stinging nettle tea and horsetail tea. But
oh, stinging nettle tea and
horsetail
tea. That's for feeding.
It feeds them. It also protects against fungal stuff.
Understand.
But it's all like, I mean, it's like you could drink this stuff.
Right.
Say the same thing about Roundup.
Well, sure, yeah, you can drink Roundup. No, right, good luck on that. A glyphosate cocktail.
But you can drink nettle tea. You ever drink nettle tea?
I've never had nettle tea. I've heard good things about it.
Not bad. It's kind of like drinking soup.
Really?
I mean, it's tastes like vegetable water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I at home, we take the vegetable trimmings. I save them up until I have a pretty good amount. Then I boil them up, make a vegetable broth, and I puree it, leaving all the material in there. And then that's what we drink. And I put a compound in there called collagen peptides. And those are from pasture-raised cattle. And it takes away all joint pain, as well as the cords in the palm of your hands that sometimes get dry, and some people actually can't straighten their fingers out. And there's a therapy they can go to is injections. The cost of that's about $26,000. This collagen peptides is about $40 for 2 months' worth, and I put it right in the warm vegetable broth on a fairly regular basis, almost every day, and it does all the same things as that very expensive therapy. So there you go, a little tip from To Your Health on how to maintain joint health. Again, that's collagen peptides from pasture-raised animals, and I get it from Amazon. Rebecca's here locally, sells it as well. We're going to take a little break here, and we will be back with To Your Health. All right, we are back right here, To Your Health. I'm your host, MC Blair. I'm talking with Todd Niemeyer of UACC, Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville, had an interview earlier this week. So we are right now at the Friendship Court Garden, and we are harvesting zucchini and cucumbers.
Looks like put a little honey in it, mix it up.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of squash out of here.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. Pretty nice.
This will all go out tomorrow. We've got a bunch in the cooler already because we're harvesting this every day for the whole week. So a week's worth of stuff goes out every Friday.
So you do it's a drip irrigation system, and you harvest rainwater off the roofs of the community members.
That's right.
It's pretty cool.
We're lucky to have it, for sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
It's expensive to put a big system like that in, but we had some support from the city in the beginning for that.
Oh, that's good.
And of course, yes, it's expensive to put in, but the savings in water is tremendous. Those drip irrigation systems, really efficient use of water.
They wanted to do a demonstration project and sort of test it out. And
so right.
They said, can we do it over here? I said, yeah. Thank you.
I have not filled a bucket. We
it's a little,
still
little
have.
Slower than the squash.
Right.
So it's here.
They're really pretty, too.
You can see how farm work would take a toll on you. I've been bent over now the whole time.
Yes, I noticed. I can see how it would take a toll on your low back.
Also, I wanted to mention, folks, low back pain. Well, I had that. I was in pain management for several years, went through that therapy. Unfortunately, that includes high doses of opioids as a pain reliever. And then I discovered, through a physical therapist recommended by my primary care physician, it's McKinsey, Dr. McKinsey's method. And she wrote two books, Fix Your Own Neck and Fix Your Own Back. Simple exercises. They actually work tremendously. Not a lot of time. We're talking about just before bed and just after waking up. They can be done in the bed. It's amazing. Get the book or find somebody who has it. Check it out. Low back pain gone. Neck pain gone. Trust me, this does work. This is Dr. McKinsey. Fix Your Own Neck. Fix Your Own Back. And you heard it right here on To Your Health at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And we'll get back to Todd Niemeyer of UACC.
Yeah, about like that guy with like his $3.50 tomato, right? So like, I wonder what his story is. Like, in order to be a small grower, like, people are selling at that price because it's the only thing they can do to like pay a decent wage to the workers and survive. But like, when you look at that from the consumer angle and you're like, holy smokes, like, okay, I gotta make rent, I gotta pay the electric bill, I gotta pay the water bill, and you're gonna charge me $3.50 for a tomato? Like, that's really that's the challenging dichotomy. I mean, that's like why industrial food is still here, because not everybody's gonna be able to pay that much.
Right.
And so it's a real challenge, like, how do we reconcile that system over the long haul?
The community volunteers, more and more people that join in and you know, volunteer their time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that gets spread out. A lot of that work gets spread out. So last night you had about 10 people
volunteering in the evening, and you know, we made it through maybe half the sweet potatoes.
Right.
Weeding the sweet potato. It's a lot of. It was very, you know, that was like huge for us, especially on a week where, like, you know, Jennifer's injured, Bradley works 3 days a week, floundering around out here. Having help like that is really, really good. And it's not the most glamorous work. It's like, I hate to do it to volunteers. You're like, okay, guys, we're gonna pull weeds for 3 hours.
Well, you know, it's funny. I saw an article where the community got together, did the community garden, had the volunteers, and in that same park where the gardens are,
uh-huh.
They have bands, and the bands will come and practice and play.
Somebody was mentioning that. Yeah.
And so then the volunteers are, you know, they're listening to good music, and then they're, you know.
Maybe that's what we need.
Yeah, we got a lot of bands around here. Heck yeah, man.
Musicians. There's some good hip hop artists in this school.
There you go, and that's another thing. Yeah, that it's a great place. It'd be a great venue for them to practice. Plus, then they could get feedback immediately from the audience.
Yeah.
And then the volunteers, the time would go by so much faster because they'd be entertained at the same time.
Think it would work?
I know it would work.
I'm gonna leave when I come out. I'm gonna leave my bucket at the end so I know where I'm at.
Oh,
you remember when
I picked the bucket?
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't tell you that, Doug.
Yeah, farming is not easy, but it can be rewarding.
It can be, yeah. And you know, you get to be outside and.
Get your hands in the dirt.
Try one.
Oh.
You like cucumbers?
Love cucumbers. Well, I'm going to eat one. Take a bite. Oh, my.
You good?
Very nice. So you've got this, I guess, straw looks like down.
Yeah.
Now that helps keep the weeds down, right?
To a degree. Weeds are the smartest things out here. They'll figure out a way to get through this. But, we've already put a couple of layers on. We've already weeded it since it's been on. It's the hope is that you get it to the point where the cucumbers get bigger than the weeds, and then you can kind of just say, okay, that's about as much as we're going to do.
That makes sense.
And then, you know, eventually you just sort of become, you go, okay, well, you're going to win eventually. We'll tolerate you after this point. You just got to get your crop ahead of the weeds. And it can sort of stand on its own.
Makes sense.
But yeah, it prevents weeds, holds moisture in. Yeah, and then we work it all back into the soil, so it's a huge, like, soil builder as well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, organic matter down in this part when, you know, we always make these, this place floods all the time. Right?
Sure.
It's kind of a marginal site to begin with, but, so we plant on all these raised humps, right?
Yeah.
And we mulch them and till it all back in. Organic matter is like 8% down there, which is pretty high.
Yes.
For a soil, for a Virginia clay, clay loam.
Yeah.
This whole, everything you see here, orchard, rock walls, trees, vegetable fields, will be buried under fill dirt.
Oh my.
We'll put a building here, which, you know, housing.
Right.
However, you know, trouble I have with all of it is that, so this housing is probably the most affordable in the city. The average rent here is $200 a month. Average income here is around $11,000. So when they redevelop, there's 150 households here now. When they redevelop, there's going to be, they're proposing 600, but still only 150 of those will be at that level of affordability. And so they're going to do some staggered affordability, but the jump from that deep level of affordability to the next level is pretty steep. And I know that there's demand for more affordability at that Section 8, it's called site-based Section 8 subs at 200 average per month. There's deep need for that in this town. And so I'm really hoping that the developers will kind of think deep and hard about, is there a way, if they're going to make some profit off of this, is there a way that we can increase rather than just maintain status quo? Even if you can't get additional government subsidies, can you use some of your profits to subsidize more apartments at that really deep affordability level? Thank you for picking that up.
Understand.
That would be, because I'm all for, like, people need a house, like, You know, people need a home and they need food, but they need a home first.
That's true.
And so I'm all for, like, if you gotta build here to make sure people have a place to live, that's fine, but make sure that the people with the least wealth in our community, there's more, you know, increased opportunities for them to have a place to live.
Right.
Right now it's just going to be status quo. Granted that the quality of apartments will probably be a lot better because it'll be new. But let's get more of it too.
Well, I agree.
I don't know.
And then put the rooftop gardens in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you were on the show, you said you came out and there was a voice message on your phone?
Yeah. So there was a guy who was driving, I think, and heard the tail end of the program and heard me talking about this wacky rooftop idea and, like, expansion and stuff. And he called and was like, I got some land. You want to come over and check it out? And, you know, we didn't end up pursuing it in the end because he needed some other things to come through for
him. Right, understand.
That I couldn't do, but, you know, the fact that people are hearing what you're talking about and going, that's inspiring, let's do something, that's good.
That is good. That does my heart good, too, to hear that. I love that kind of feedback.
We need more brains on this. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. It's funny, I say more brains. I've been watching this thing on National Geographic called Year Million, and they're talking about swarm intelligence.
Uh-huh. Right.
And of course, you know, the bees.
Right.
And they find what they need to find.
Yeah.
One bee or two bees or 10 bees by themselves couldn't do it.
That's right.
But the whole swarm does.
Like ants too, right?
Exactly. Same swarm intelligence. Everybody's connected.
Somebody should walk up there because you'll see, like, where there's stuff in bloom. I mean, there's just, you see the usual bees, you see, like,
right,
honeybees, and you'll see some bumblebees, but if you stare for a while, you'll see all these, like, tiny bees and wasps and stuff,
right,
just, like, swarming that place.
So a whole, like, ecosystem.
Yeah. There's salamanders up in there. There's all sorts of cool stuff. And it's because we created this little microbiome, I guess.
Now, will that be affected by the redevelopment?
Oh, yeah. It'll all go away.
We are in the cooler at UACC, and Farmer Todd is storing the cucumbers as we speak. We are in this cooler that was built. Materials were actually donated by our local Lowe's Building Supply, which is pretty cool. A big chain actually taking interest in the local community. And then Todd had a nice design, but the guy at Lowe's had a better design and came out here. And this thing, it's as hot as it is today, it's 37 degrees in here on a normal basis, and the cooling unit is a window air conditioner. That's it. Nothing fancy. No pipes. No.
Except that fancy little thing that comes with the toner.
It actually tricks the air conditioner to run all the time, and so it stays a nice chilly 37 degrees. Well, we're in it right now, and I gotta say, it's a welcome respite to that hot sun that we were just in out of the dark.
We got some. Those are, like, there's cabbage.
Oh man, some nice cabbage.
That's old scraps of beets.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna give those to somebody to pickle, I think.
Oh, there you go.
I think.
Make their own pickle beets.
Yeah. There.
Turnips look good.
We'll harvest chard and lettuce and more cabbage. What else tomorrow? Probably some more squash and cucumbers.
And then tomorrow's is the farm to market day.
Yeah, market day.
Right.
Yeah, South First Street, 4 p.m.
Awesome. And I just wanted to say, Farmer Todd, thanks so much, Todd.
Thanks
really,
for just visiting. Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are doing a great thing here at UACC.
Thanks.
Really.
We appreciate that you're interested in what we're doing and
checking it out. It's very important that more people like yourself get involved and volunteer.
Yeah,
you know,
volunteer.
Yeah, it's good for the soul.
Indeed. Wednesdays 4 to 7 at Friendship Court if you want to come out.
Awesome.
It's mostly pulling weeds.
Yeah, that's okay, though. Maybe someone will bring an MP3 and at least get some sounds or something, right?
There you go.
Good. Thanks, man.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Boy, was that. And that was such a good time that I had there with Farmer Todd of UACC. He's doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I hope when you listen to that you heard was a man that is totally,
totally committed to what he's doing. It does my heart good to see folks like that really getting out there and benefiting the community. The 40 years from the late 50s to the late 90s was when the U.S. government started to, with the best of intentions, encourage the factory farm model through farm subsidies and tax breaks for participating farms. Today, we're faced with the logical result of another case of changing the natural order of things. Big ag and big meat, corporate control of our food system is a recipe for disaster because the corporate model dictates profit overall, as opposed to a local small farmer who practices taking care of the soil, water use, and the general health of the produce and meat products will result in better health of the people, not only physically, but also a community with a general commitment to work together. This, of course, will take time. And we here at To Your Health are committed to helping the many true food citizens like Todd Niemeyer, UACC, and Janet Mitchell of South First Street Garden to get the word out to you, the general public, who we hope care about improving their health and life in general. The move toward the local foods began in the 60s with the organic movement. Concerns about the health and environmental risks associated with the synthetic fertilizers and pesticides were not only the reasons they chose to grow foods organically, it was about a commitment to treating the whole farm as a living organism, not just a profit center. Treating the workers well with a living wage and working with the community at large. Big farming corporations have gotten into the organic market, but that's not the point. To be truly healthful, food needs to be raised locally by a farmer who believes the before-mentioned principles, those of soil health, carbon sequestration, and being part of the whole. Let's do this, listeners. Let's research how to become involved. Look up the Food Justice Network of Charlottesville. Decide which of the many participating organizations you can donate to or volunteer for, especially the UACC. You will be rewarded in ways yet unimagined. I want to thank Todd Niemeyer and Janet Mitchell from UACC, and I want to thank all of you who download our show. I hope something you hear sparks a desire to know more. Remember, participating in community activities, treating your bodies with care, and eating real foods are keys to your health.
You've been listening to Your Health with your host, MC Blair. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. Be listening again next Saturday at 11 for To Your Health. The show is produced by Ben Chambers, production assistance from Mike Friend.